Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Do our cities still have a community spirit? I stumbled upon comments from the UK's Prince William over the weekend, and he was talking about people living in large metropolitan cities right across the world, how they've lost their ability to come together and to know their neighbours. And it's started a fairly interesting conversation here in the office about whether or not people know their neighbours. Do you know them on both sides? How friendly with them are you? Do you have a good connection and relationship with them? Journalist with thejournal.ie, Mairish O'Carroll, is on the line. We spoke to you about your hometown of Clonsilla in Dublin last year, Mairish. Do you think we still have that sense of community?
Yes, Andrea. Nice to thank you for having me on again. When I did speak to you, yes, I was highlighting the case that there is very little community spirit in towns across Dublin. And at the time, the article was focusing on things like how housing estates are being built in the likes of Clonsilla, but there's still no kind of major community centres. Most football clubs or sports clubs are based outside of the town. And then what space is there is small and in high demand. And interestingly, since then, we've seen a bit of a renaissance in some way. So, for example, when I was speaking to people in Clonsilla for that article in June of last year, or just before June of last year, there was quite a lot of people who said there isn't any kind of space for people to meet and congregate. And since then, there's been a coffee shop that is opening up soon, Nudie Brews, right in the centre of the village. There's also a new development that is kind of further up the road that gives more space and also provides another coffee shop there. There's running clubs that have been set up and with relative success and have collaborated with local clubs and brands nearby. So there is, I think, some changes happening in that feeling. And I think it probably is something to do with just anecdotally people being a little bit fed up with working from home or not having that sort of community spirit anymore or some sort of sense of connection to where they live. But I mean, the points that I mentioned in my very first article in June still stand. There are still many housing estates being built. There's still no community centres. Yeah. People have to meet outside of the community. So, it's definitely being there's definitely a change, but I think it's being facilitated more by the residents rather than the people who are in charge of developing the areas like councils and other jurisdictions like that.
Editor of CorkBio.ie, Joe O'Shea, is joining us as well, Mairish. Do you know your neighbours, Joe?
I do, yeah, but I'm living back in this inner city neighbourhood that I was born and bred in after being away for a few decades. So I have a sort of connection to the place anyway.
So that makes it obviously so much easier. But I'm assuming that there's probably been an influx of well, I don't want to say blow-ins, but other people, new people to the locality as well.
Yeah. Well, here's the strange thing about Cork City is not many Cork people live there. It's a classic donut city in that people moved out in the 90s and noughties. They moved out to the outer ring suburbs, basically. So the last survey done by Cork City Council a few years ago found that there was something like 45% of the population of the city, the tight city in Cork, were non-national, which is crazy. But it's because it emptied out of native Leasiders, so to speak. What I found very interesting is there is a growing sense of community now in the city centre, and it's being driven by people who come in from the outside. You know, we have these huge populations of Brazilians, Polish, other nationalities, lots of Eastern Europeans. There's 6,000 people working in Apple, the Apple campus on the north side of the city alone. So, I mean, and a lot of them are from outside of Cork. So what they're doing is they're coming into the city centre. They're valuing living in the city centre. They're valuing shopping in the English Market. They're valuing the pubs and the restaurants, the atmosphere in the city centre. And they're revitalising it. And one of the good things, and also the kind of the locals, so to speak, or the native Leasiders, one of the great things about social media, one of maybe the only good things about social media, is it's allowed people to connect and to find each other rather than sitting at home isolated and going, geez, I wish the neighbourhood was a bit better. If people are organising and connecting and they're driving it. So we have a Ballyvihan, which is an inner suburb in Cork, 10 minutes from the city centre, is actually the Tidy Towns Committee. They're doing great work altogether. And it's the first time I've ever seen that. And that's very close to where I grew up.
Robin Mandel is from the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance, Joe. Robin is with us too. Do you think we have an issue around communities and establishing and building good communities in our counties, Robin?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yes, I do. I think that if you listen to what Moorish and Joe say, in existing communities, even in Cork, where the donut effect has happened, people have moved back in. It kind of happens accidentally, but what we seem to be doing, particularly in Dublin, is we're ignoring the fact that the reason for having cities is for communities. We're social animals. We need community. And, you know, if you think of the word civilization, it comes from civitas, which also means city and citizen. And, you know, the core of civilization is in the cities, and it is in them that the need for community is highest. And it is in them that we are failing the new communities who should be coming in by not providing the facilities that they need for that community.
Who's responsible for that?
At the end of the day, it's the policymakers. Everybody else plays their role. We have been able to do a lot of good work in terms of planning, in terms of areas like Adamstown, which is outside the city. But the infrastructure went in first. The schools went in. Similarly, in the Docklands in Dublin, there was really good planning that involved the communities. And they are quite strong communities, even though within the new areas, there is, you know, I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but there is a transient population in the sense that they're people who are mobile, you know, so it's harder for them to engage with community, but they do. And again, I think Joe's point about social media is really valid. You know, the use of things that like WhatsApp groups in neighborhoods, you know, they are the tools we have. And it's relatively easy to do. We have a huge culture of community. I mean, you know, one of the reasons we got through COVID so well was that everybody felt they had a sense of community with other people. In other countries, that didn't happen. And, you know, with ugly results in some cases. And, you know, in Dublin, if you look at Ring's End, if you look at Irish Town, if you look at Stony Batter, they're all these little villages that are huge, that have huge access to community. And we have to build on it, not doing what we're doing.
Yeah. And there are communities, I think, that have changed massively as well, you know, in recent times. David Grange is on the line. David, I believe you're in Raheny in Dublin, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, is there a good sense of community there?
Yeah, well, it could be better, and it could be better on a broader spectrum as well, like nationally, and particularly around Dublin, where I've been noticing a discrepancy in a representation of communities in the community game, the organisation in the community game. It's long established since 1967. Yeah. So, like, since 2016, I would call it stonewalled in relation to reviving the community games in marginalised estates that haven't had it for like 40 odd years. And so it's very frustrating that I hear all the other speakers and they're all like, it makes common sense with what they're saying. I just find it very frustrating that I've been Stonewall, and it's such a simple resolve for this would be, I was speaking to someone last week who Rennet in North Dublin or South Dublin state, but they had problems getting a committee of six people because you ran it for 10 years. I haven't been there for 10 years, so 10 years without it now.
So just getting people to commit, is it, to something like a committee?
Yeah, exactly.
And voluntary committee.
Basically, the community guys will help you set it up. So effectively, like, it seems like people are like switched off to the benefits of it, and that creates the disassociation in community, because community is not running it, and it could be, and it could be the 44 events for 6 to 16 year olds. But I think a simple resolve that this lady explained to me, I said, how did you get it promoted in your area? And she says, well, the community games got in touch with the primary schools, just put a flyer in the kids' bag, and they took them home to their parents, and they obviously asked for people to get involved or make themselves known, and they'd help them set it up. Even with that, she only got three people. She needed six, okay. And she ran it with three for 10 years, and then she had to back away. Well, I hear the other speakers saying about the social media. I've had, in my own jurisdiction, the suburb of Raheny, I won't mention the area, but anybody who knows me knows what I'm talking about. they had a social media platform, the Residents Association, of 5,000 members. And I asked the last question to them after 6 months of asking my proposal to be raised higher levels. And they all said no. So I asked the last question to this lady. You're 5,000 members on your platform. Would you like to ask the question? Would you be interested in reviving the community games in the area and surrounding areas and show some interest? We had to start it up and get the team for this time next year. That was 2016.
Okay.
She said, no, I will not.
Okay, it probably is one way, all right, to try and get a community revitalised. I suppose, Joe, you know, just even looking from some of the messages coming in from listeners about this, it probably makes a change when people have children. I wonder, are they more, you know, engaged with the local community through the schools or like David mentioned, community groups or community games or different sports and activities, and whether properties are owned by rental tenants or homeowners. Does that make any difference?
It's a huge point, because once you have kids, you want to plug into the community. You want to get that sense, you know. I mean, you want to get involved in local GAA clubs. You want to get involved in sporting organisations. And part of the problem is, in Cork especially, kind of Cork City Council in the past and the city in general has regarded the city centre as somewhere where families don't live. Transient population, that's what you'll always hear. It's renters, it's foreigners, it's single people until they get married. But there are families living in the city centre in Cork now, and our mindset nationally has to change about this. We have to, because when I was growing up where I am back now, when I was a child in the 70s and growing up in the 80s, it was a classic working class community, and not too rose tinted glasses around like that, but it really was connected and everybody knew everybody else. We had a local GAA club. And there was that sense of like kids out in the street playing together. You know, it really was that kind of classic working class community. That's gone now, but it'd be nice to bring it back in some respects. And that starts with the city council and with people recognizing that, yes, families do live in the city centre.
There's a text from this listener who says the populations of towns and cities have been changing for years. I lived in London in the 80s, and then you'd be hard pressed to find a Cockney accent. I lived in Frankfurt over a decade ago and couldn't find any Germans in the locality. It's evolution. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. That's Marisha O'Carroll, Joe O'Shea, Robin Mandel, David for getting in touch too. Thanks to you. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.